Hey mama, do you want to balance maintaining your home, cooking, cleaning, all the things you have to do as a stay-at-home mum whilst being present with your family? Do you find yourself up late at night, scattered, thinking about all the things you didn't get done and so need to do tomorrow? Is your greatest desire for your littles to know and love Jesus? Hey, I'm Elise. When I became a mum, I felt overwhelmed and wished that I could just stay on top of everything. I wanted to be there for my family, and yet all these things still had to get done. I was worried that I would spend this time too busy and miss it, until I found the secret, partnering with God even in our home life. In this podcast, you will find tactical tips for homemaking, help for your low-tox journey, as well as biblical parenting so that you will find God's joy and experience His peace in motherhood. Welcome to Wholesome Mama. It's time to go grab your cup of tea, reheat it because you know, and let's get into today's episode. Well, hey there, Mama. Welcome to another episode of the Wholesome Mama Show. And it is March. So that means that it is Endometriosis Awareness Month. And I can never let this month go past without at least bringing one episode to you in regards to endo, in regards to what it is to suffer from living with a chronic illness such as endometriosis. So if you are not aware, I have a long history of having endo, and it was actually one of the things that was the catalyst for me to get into this holistic side of health and really look at things health-wise and wellness-wise on a deeper level. And so I thought today, I've shared previously my story a couple of times, and I'll put those episode links in the show notes for you. But I wanted to share with you today that with everything that I know now, what would I do if I got endo today? What would I do if it came back, if I started having pain again? And so I thankfully have been able to manage the last 4 years now symptom free. So I now have regular cycles. I don't suffer from period pain anymore or ovulation pain. There's probably maybe twice a year where it's bad. But most of the time it's nothing more than a little bit uncomfortable, which if you knew me and you my story, and as I said, you can go and listen to one of the previous episodes where I share in detail my story. I was living on opioids, day-to-day, hard, heavy drugs that my body couldn't actually handle. And I was basically had a reaction to them, but there was nothing else that I could do to function. And so I was in this hard place of being a mum with either a 4-month-old at one point was when I really started the journey, and not wanting that to be what my life was. And I think if you're a mum and you have endo or PCOS or any kind of pelvic pain situation, then you know that that's not how you should be having to live. So that led me to think, okay, what, knowing all that I know now, with all the research that I've been doing for years or around endo, around my personal experience testing things and trying different food and seeing what, cutting out things and being on the pill, off the pill, off the pill, way better, always winner. But I thought, what would I do if right now, if today I suddenly got taken out with the pain again? And the first thing that I would do would be to pray even more, to get in the word even more, and to do communion. And now that might sound like, that's a nice Christian thing to say, but actually I would want to have so much of my being, and I want this for me no matter what, with a chronic illness or living symptom free, whatever. But I know how much my mood comes down or came down when I was suffering with endo. I know how much I got anxious. I felt depressed. I felt alone. I felt helpless. Like, my mental state was not good living in those moments, because it is a hard isolating illness to have, to know that there's no cure, that you don't know what caused it. There's no cure. You don't know. You just, am I living surgery to surgery? Because that's how I felt. I had 4 surgeries in 4 years and thought, there is no way that my body can sustain this. If I have to have a surgery every between 12 months, at one point I got, the last one was 18 months, which was amazing. But even that, I shouldn't have to be living surgery to surgery to surgery to surgery. That is not good for my physical being, nor my emotional mental state. So that would be the first thing that I would do. I would pray. I would find promises in the Bible and scripture to hold on to. I would get in the word. I would speak that over my life, and I would do communion. Now, communion can seem like, that's a very religious thing to do. Well, no, like, Jesus commanded it in the Bible. Do this in remembrance of me. And that's exactly what it is. It's an act of remembering what he did on the cross, that on the cross he took our sins and he took our sufferings and he healed us, and by his stripes we are healed. And that counts for your endo, not your endo, the endo. It's not yours. Don't claim it as yours. It is not mine. I'm not claiming it as mine. Watch your words. That was something that I always, always struggled with, and my husband picked up on a lot. And he was like, no, do not claim it as yours. It is not yours. It is not of you. Anyway. So we do that in remembrance of what Jesus came and did 2,000 years ago. Because as much as he did to heal then, it still counts for now. And so it's not this legalistic, religious, weird thing. It is powerful to drink. And sometimes we'll do communion with orange juice and a piece of bread that we find, because that's just what we have. You don't have to get all. It's the point is that you are remembering what Jesus did, and you are claiming that healing as yours. So that would be the first thing that I would do. Now, I've got points here, and I've got too many to nine things that I would do. So that is number one. The second one that I would do is I would very, very quickly get a good team around me. So I would make sure that I've got a good doctor, a good gynecologist, and if I felt like I needed to, book in to see a psychologist. I'd get myself back to the naturopath. I'd get myself back to the pelvic physio. Because I know, and at one point this was my life. I'd have my doctor, my gynecologist, I'd go see a psychologist. I saw a remedial massage, which I know sounds nice, but the tension that your body holds when you are suffering in chronic pain needs to be released. I was seeing a psychologist because I couldn't cope mentally being in that much pain all the time. I saw a naturopath, pelvic floor physio, so a physio that specializes in women's health and pelvic floor. And so I had a really good team around me, and so that is what I would do again. And if even better, We have local to me here a health center that has all these people except the gynecologist in it. So it was the same place that I saw the physio, that I saw the naturopath, that I saw the psychologist, that I'm so everyone could see and my notes if they needed to, and because I gave them permission to. Anyway, that is the second thing that I would do. The third thing that I would do is take it easy. I would give myself grace to say, you know what, okay, this season needs to look different because my priority is my health and things have changed. So I need to give myself grace. I might need to say no to a lot more things. I might need to relook at my calendar and see what I really want to say yes to, but I might not be able to do all these extra speaking things that I'm doing. I might not be able to do extra podcast episodes. This might need to go down to 2 episodes a month instead of 1 a week. I might need to get help with someone to come in and clean my house. I might need to get help with school drop-off and pick-up. I need to take it easy, and that is okay. It's okay that this season might need to look a bit different. It's okay that I might need to say no, and my capacity might seem like it's not as big as it used to be. And this is because my priorities for this season have changed. So that is something that I would do. Now I want to get a little bit more practical into like what are the actual like step-by-step things that I would do. So I would look at my diet, the first one. And so this was for me a huge factor. And I've over the years let it slip a little bit and I'll have a bit of sugar, and lately it's been way too much sugar, and that is something that I'm working on now because I've seen myself start to eat more and more sugar. But I would again eat a purely anti-inflammatory diet. So I would cut out sugar, alcohol, all additives and preservatives. I personally would again go gluten and dairy free. So I ate basically like that, like meat. Make sure you get your meat sourced, organic, hormone-free, additive-free, antibiotic-free, all those. Like make sure it's, if you can get organic, good grass-fed meat and chicken, highly recommend that. And then as much fruit and veggies and nuts and seeds and basically whole foods. Eat as much fresh whole foods as you can, and really cut out, the sugar, the alcohol, the trans fat. Make sure you have lots of good fats in there. And then, for me personally, I found that I cut out dairy and gluten, and that helped bring my inflammation levels down. But now, as I am normally, I can now handle dairy and gluten because I've worked so hard on my gut health. So that is what I would do. I would eat as much of an anti-inflammatory diet as possible with all the whole foods, all the fresh, colorful, rainbow, non-packaged foods. And there's so much on Pinterest, like there's so much info out there on anti-inflammatory diets, like just Pinterest, Google, Instagram, hashtag search, so much will come up. The next thing I would do is I would do a symptom tracker and see if there are any triggers. So I would kind of note down, and not to be like, I wouldn't note everything, but I would kind of take note of what I'm eating, how much exercise I've been doing, how stressed I've been, what's been going on, so that I know that if I had a flare up, I could go back and kind of try and see if there's something that related to it. So have I been drinking enough water? No. And then I get a headache and then that kind of triggers things. Or I did a really vigorous exercise, high impact workout, and now I'm having cramps. Okay, that's good to know. Where in my cycle am I? And if you're not already off the pill, get off the pill so you have a cycle, so you know what you're working with. You're not having your period on the pill, and this is a conversation for a whole nother day, but that is not a real period. It's a withdrawal bleed. It's a chemical reaction, basically. It's not you having your cycle because you haven't ovulated. So get off the pill. And I know that if you were new to this journey, because when I heard this and I was like, but the pill is what's keeping my hormones at bay and stopping my pain. Yeah, but the side effects of the pill are doing like a whole another list of horrible things. So let's get to the root cause, the bottom of why your one, hormones aren't at bay, but also with endometriosis in particular, we need to look at inflammation as much, if not more, than hormones. It's not enough to look at hormones in and of themselves. While that is very important, yes, inflammation is, from what all the research that I have been doing, reading the research of other people, is that inflammation is massive. So I would track my symptoms to see what my triggers are, if I have any, or if it's literally just random times and there's no way to tell. Okay, the next thing that I would do is I would increase my supplementation and focus on gut health. So again, particularly focusing on inflammation and increasing my nutrition levels. So even though I go and eat an anti-inflammatory diet, which is basically whole foods, I'm still not getting enough nutrients to thrive, for my body to heal, for my body to bring down that inflammation, for my gut to restore, for me to then get on and live my life. I'm getting enough to survive, but I'm not getting enough to really thrive. Be like that. Getting enough to survive, but not enough to thrive. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through life merely surviving. Like, yeah, it's not going to kill me to be in pain every day, but that is no way that I want to live. So I would increase my supplementation. And so by that, I at the moment take a half dose of my supplementation pack. And I might even, I'll link everything that I can in the show notes for you, because I know, or send me a message on Instagram. But I take a half dose. I would increase that to a full dose. So that is my multivitamin. So that's got all bioavailable whole foods, all the vitamins, all the minerals, everything that you need. The energy complex, which is full of antioxidants to fight the free radicals. So the cells that go around your body and attack the good cells, the bad mean cells that go around and attack the good cells and damage them. So we want antioxidants to undo the damage and repair and kill off the free radicals. And then also has the omegas in it. So we want good omegas. We want good fats in our diet. But we can't get, well, I certainly cannot get enough in my day-to-day diet. So I need to supplement that. And we need that because our hormones actually rely on the good fats for balancing, not to mention like our brain needs good fats to function. So they're in a pack. So I, at the moment, just on a day-to-day, take a half dose. I would increase that to a full dose. And then, and as you can see, like with those three, with the multivitamin, the energy complex, which is the antioxidants, and then the omegas, that is foundational for wellness. So whether or not you have endo or not, I won't ever stop taking these because I can't get enough in my diet. Like our soil is so depleted. So our fruit and veggies and food is so depleted from the nutrients that it used to have at the levels that it used to have. It's still got those nutrients, but they're just nowhere near the levels that it had, like when my parents were kids or when my grandparents were kids. The other things, focusing specifically on gut health, is I would take a probiotic. So probiotic and postbiotic. And you can get them now where they are like the same. You can get them in the same. And then I would also take a digestive enzyme just to really, really help with gut health and focus on, obviously, there has been something gone wrong with my gut health. Inflammation has gone up. I need to restore that. I would use all the essential oils, of course. I can't not say that. But I would use all the oils, all the lovely hormone-loving, hormone-balancing oils like clary sage, lavender, bergamot, chamomile, what else? Geranium, ylang ylang. But also I would use turmeric, and I would probably even use turmeric as a supplement for inflammation, and as another supplement or oil, copaiba. So there's some fascinating research around that oil that I love, and I actually have the soft gels of it to take. I haven't had to in ever so long, but when I was having symptoms, they were what I would take. So they are the essential oils that I would use, and I would blend them to make perfume. I would just rub them over my abdomen. I would use them in an Epsom salt bath or a castor oil pack, which I'll get to in a minute. I would diffuse them. I would just get them on me any way and every way I could to support my hormones and also my mood and also smell really nice. Okay, so Epsom salt and castor oil packs, they are something that I would do as well, and they kind of go along with the oils. The oils just take these ideas to the next level. So a castor oil pack is incredible for inflammation particularly. And so what I would do with a castor oil pack is, and I'm not fancy, guys. I'm really not fancy. I use a cloth, and I add a couple of drops of some of those essential oils, or I even some days will just put it in my hand, castor oil, some drops of the oils, rub it over my abdomen, and then put a warm compress, like a warm washer or even a heat pack on top, and then leave that on for about 30 minutes. And that just helps calm things down, which is really nice. And then a salt bath. So Epsom salt, even adding some sea salt in there. Again, adding some essential oils just to take it to the next level. Also some apple cider vinegar in there. Sounds strange, but great. And then an important thing to note, so this is kind of like a detox endo bath. And so I would go in and I would be in there for around 20 minutes, and then I'd hop out and rinse off in the shower. Because you are detoxing, you want to get those toxins out. And I've got like particular oils that I do for the castor oil pack and that I do for the endo salt bath, but you can ask me about those But any longer than around 20 minutes and you will actually start to reabsorb the toxins that you've released. So we do not want that. So go in for around 20 minutes, detox, hop out, rinse off in the shower. But that's a really, really lovely thing to do. And then even after that, you can then do what's called an aromatic dressing where you get some carrier oil, a couple of drops of those lovely hormone-loving oils and rub it over your body and feel nice and lovely. Okay, so I think we've covered pretty much everything. The last thing that I wanted to say that I would do if I endo took me down and out today was that if I would be very, very surprised if I could not get on top of it with these things, but I wouldn't feel scared or worried or feel like a failure if I felt like I needed to book an excision surgery. So this, I just wanted to make note on this because this is something that certainly maybe is more well known now, but certainly how many years ago was I diagnosed? 10 years ago now. I didn't understand the different types of surgery that were that you had access to, I guess, that you could get. So the first surgery is ablation, and that is where they basically, it's keyhole surgery, it's a laparoscopy and a laparoscopy, that's the word, isn't it, I think? And they burn off the, top of the adhesion. So they, they cut them out and then burn off the top layer. So you can't see anymore. So it looks fine. However, when you think of it like a plant, say, plants have roots that go in. And so when you do an ablation, it's just like coming and burning off the plant down to the soil level. So the roots can still be there. They can still be there, but you can't see the plant. What's going to happen? It's just going to grow back. And this is what I found with me and why I feel like this contributed to me having to have so many surgeries is what this is what was happening. And so excision surgery is actually getting in and digging out those roots. So they cut the roots out of, without going into it, they cut the roots of the adhesions out. So I wouldn't feel like, I wouldn't rush to book one, but if I felt like this was getting really bad really quickly or I can't get on top of this, I would make sure that my gynecologist on my team is an excision specialist and can actually perform excision surgery for endometriosis. So that is what I would, I wouldn't feel like I'd failed or it hadn't worked or it just is the beast of endo. But I wanted to make sure that that was clear because for a lot of people going into this holistic health space or maybe you're in it and thinking that like if I have to go and get medical help, then like I'm not doing it right. That's not true. Sometimes, and praise the Lord, that help is there when we need it and we can go and get that. So they are the things. The other thing that I would certainly do is make sure that I am drinking good filtered water and getting enough water because just side note, constipation can just wreak havoc in a body that is already chaotic with endo. So yeah, they are the 9 things that I would do if I found out I got endo today, or if I woke up tomorrow and suddenly had pain. They are what I would do. So I'd pray, get in the word even more, get a good team around me, anti-inflammatory diet, symptom track, use all the oils, increase my supplements, salt baths and castor oil packs, take it easy and give myself grace and not be afraid if I needed to book a surgery. So I pray, Mama, that that was helpful. And if it is, please let me know. Please come and send me a message. Or if you have a woman in your world who is suffering with endometriosis or even any kind of hormonal period pain issues, I would love it if you could share this episode with her. It would take like 30 seconds, and it would mean the world to me to help you, for me to get this message of hope out to women who may be feeling alone, may be feeling isolated with this illness. But be blessed, Mama, and I will be back with you next week for a new episode. Well, that wraps up another episode, and I pray that you were blessed by today's conversation and really got something out of it for you to take into your motherhood this week. If you did get something out of today's episode, please subscribe, leave a review so I know that you're loving the show. You can also come and chat on Instagram. The handle is @wholesomemama. And don't forget, we have a Facebook community too with mums just like you who are in the trenches of mothering littles. So come and join us over there as well. The link for everything is always in the show notes. Have a beautiful week, Mum. Be blessed, and I will be with you next week.